You are listening to Joy 94.9 and we are on Sunday Arts Magazine. We've got our next guest in the studio. We would like to welcome Elizabeth Anderson and Craig Hill from the Australia Chamber Choir and the Melbourne Baroque Orchestra. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Now, and as always, before, well, let's start off with you, Elizabeth, and what is your organisation?
Well, we started the Australian Chamber Choir in 2007. It was my husband and I. My husband, Douglas Lawrence, is the artistic director of the choir, the conductor. Prior to working with the Australian Chamber Choir, we had the Choir of Ormond College, which was part of Ormond College of the University of Melbourne. And I think we did about 11 international concert tours with that choir. And then when Douglas finished working with the Choir of Ormond College, we started the Australian Chamber Choir, and 2007 was our first international tour with that group. And we've since done 6 international tours and lots of concerts in Australia, all over Australia, Sydney, Melbourne, regional Victoria, about 200 concerts all up in the last 10 years.
Right, okay. And what's your background? You know, like obviously your husband, but what's yours?
Well, I started out as a harpsichordist. I came to Melbourne Uni to study harpsichord, and a bit of an early music freak. So very much along the lines of wanting to perform music in the style which the composer had in mind when he wrote it. So that sort of brings us to the subject of our Mozart Requiem, where we're playing it with instruments of the classical period and trying to get as close as we can to the sound that Mozart would have heard as he was writing it.
Wow. Now, Craig, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Now, you're part of an organisation which is the Melbourne...
The Melbourne Baroque Orchestra.
Right.
That's an orchestra that brings together lots of early instrument players that are active in Melbourne. Melbourne has quite a big, not underground, but a big scene of playing old instruments, 18th century and 19th century instruments. But we don't often all work together and get together and play orchestral music, and that's where the Melbourne Baroque Orchestra comes in, and we get a chance to all work together and play.
Right. Now, you would obviously be classically trained in music.
That's right. I'm actually a clarinetist with the Melbourne Symphony. I'll never forget my first day at work 26 years ago, and my former teacher turned to me and said, "Right, Craig, now you've made it. You're in the Melbourne Symphony. What are you going to do to keep the spark really alive and keep interested?" And I thought, okay, what am I going to do? And I thought, I really just want to play 18th century clarinets and really delve into the history. And so I'm still doing that. I'm still loving it 25 years later.
Now,
sorry, can I just ask about the 18th century clarinet? Is that something that you get to hear anywhere else? Or is it because you've got the classical training, you've got a bit of background and you know what the 18th century clarinet would sound like? Or?
Well, it's a specialist kind of field that not many people go into. In Australia, there would be only a small handful of people that have taken it on. In this orchestra, we've got Nicole van Bruggen and myself, and we're probably the two players of this 18th century basset horn in the country. Okay. And worldwide, there would be a couple of dozen.
Gosh, only players. A couple of dozen.
And you were talking earlier, Elizabeth, about obviously the old, you know, how pieces were meant to be played. So besides the clarinet, obviously there's other instruments that, you know, the original sort of instruments as they were. Is there a place out there that, you know, you can go out and listen to, or, you know, of as to what it all sounds like, or an old orchestra playing all the old instruments?
Well, yeah, there's, for example, in Australia we have a new orchestra that's just started up in the last few years, the Australian Romantic and Classical Orchestra, and that's bringing players together with instruments from those periods and playing. So you could say the early music movement is becoming more modern. We started out in Melbourne, was one of the first cities in Australia to become really early music-centred, with lots of exponents of Baroque instruments. And so we've had Baroque performance going on here on Baroque instruments for quite a while, but the whole kind of classical and romantic thing is kind of new. And Nicole van Bruggen is involved with the Australian Romantic and Classical Orchestra, which And she's coming to us from Noosa to play Basset Horn with Craig.
Now, Craig, explain to our listeners, we're seeing it in front of us, but it's the weirdest instrument. I've never seen anything. Is it made out of wood?
It's made out of boxwood, which is a really light wood. It's like what you might imagine a recorder being made out of.
Yep.
Now, a modern clarinet is made out of that black African wood. It's actually called grenadilla, and it's really quite dense and heavy. If I had that instrument in my hand, I would really feel it. But this is really nice and light. It's a joy to have in the hand and to play.
But it looks so weird because it goes down, doesn't it? And the nozzle where the sound comes out of is right down the bottom.
It's crazy. with a large clarinet, the problem is the length of the instrument is longer than your arms can actually reach.
Right.
So in the 18th century, makers were trying to come up with ways of the player being able to reach the holes on the instrument.
Yeah.
And what they first came up with was a curved sickle-shaped instrument, and that's why it's called the Basset horn, because it was like a horn-shaped.
Yeah.
Now, a horn shape is very difficult to drill the hole down the middle. You just can't. You can't do it. So what they would do was drill out the hole and then bend the wood, and then obviously they would have snapped a few instruments.
Yep.
So what they did in about the 1770s was they decided to make the instrument in two straight sections, which have got an angle in the middle. It's called a knee joint for obvious reasons, and so that way they were able to make basically a top joint of a clarinet, a knee joint that bends at about 120 degrees, and then the rest of the instrument, but that's not the whole story. What happens at the bottom is that the instrument was so long that it turns a U-turn, does another U-turn, and then goes out in a brass bell. So if you can imagine that it's an instrument with an S bend at the bottom of it.
All right. Well, how old is that one that you're holding?
This was made in about 2002.
And it looks hundreds of years old.
That's right. It's a fairly exact copy of an instrument from about 1780 in Vienna.
Right. Okay. Can you play a little piece for us just so we can have a listen? Thank you so much. What was it? What was that piece from?
That was a little bit of Rameau.
A Rameau?
Rameau from one of the motets.
Okay.
Something that came to my mind.
Now, a Brock Orchestra, how many people are in it?
About 30.
Oh, gee, it's a big orchestra.
Yeah, so there's trumpets, three trombones, timpanis, strings, two basset horns, two beautiful classical bassoons.
Yep.
And the strings.
Now, Elizabeth, with your choir, you actually haven't got the full orchestra playing, is that right?
No. We have got the full orchestra playing.
You have?
Yeah, all of those instruments that Craig just mentioned are playing with us in the Mozart Requiem. Yeah.
Right. Oh,
so we're doing
the
original scoring.
Okay.
Yep.
And how many are in your chorus?
In the choir, this performance, we'll have 24 singers plus 4 soloists.
Right, so there's a lot of people on stage.
Yeah, that's right. Normally, because we're a chamber choir, when we sing unaccompanied, we have 18 in the choir. But for this work, because the size of the orchestra really determines the size of the choir, we just need a few more singers to balance up.
Yep. And as you said, you want to play it so it sounds just the way Mozart wrote it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. And his music is just so lovely and easy and uplifting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they actually said he was a pop music genius the era before the word pop music was invented.
He had a fantastic feel for what people would love, for what would really energise people. And I think it's really strange to think that this is a requiem and that he was writing it whilst he he actually felt that he was dying. He had a premonition that he was going to die, and then he became ill and died before completing the Requiem.
Right.
And yet so many people would perceive this music to be incredibly joyful. Some people say it's very joyful. Some people say it's very scary. It's pretty. It's sometimes just hard to tell.
Right.
Yeah. It does different things for different people, I guess.
Right. And the sheer fact that because his music was so light, with it being a requiem, you could understand that. You know, it's playing it, you know, how do you weigh it up in a way?
Yeah, that's right.
And because he did die fairly young too, didn't he?
Yeah, he was 35 when he died, and he'd been writing the requiem for the few months before he died. And we don't in fact know what he died of. We know that he had some nasty symptoms and had a very high fever and
they didn't have the medication or anything to...
There are all sorts of theories as to what the disease was, but, yeah, there are so many different ideas that we really just don't know.
Now, why did you choose this piece of music?
Well, look, it's probably... It's one of the favourite works for orchestra and choir. We've done... a lot of the large choral works with orchestra. We've done the Bach B minor Mass. We've done St. John's and Matthew Passions. We've done the Handel's Messiah many times. And so, yeah, I think it's really important to play the big works because the public loves them. And so this was one that we hadn't done with the Australian Chamber Choir and it was on our list.
Oh, good on you. And when's it on?
It's on Sunday, next Sunday, which is the 22nd of April, 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the Scots Church in
the
city.
Which is in Russell Street, beautiful church as well. So it's going to be packed to the rafters.
It will be packed to the rafters, yeah. So if people want to come, we recommend that they book.
Now, you brought a CD in, Elizabeth, to give us a bit of a sample of what it is.
It's not what we're performing on Sunday, but it's just some Bach that we recorded a couple of years ago with some of the players from the Melbourne Baroque Orchestra.
Oh, okay, so it's being played with the instruments that we talked about earlier?
Yeah, but not the bass at all.
Okay.
Great. On the CD.
Well, so thank you so much for coming in, and we'll go out with this piece. So just give it to us again. What's the piece you're playing?
Oh, the piece that you're about to hear is...
No, sorry.
Playing on Sunday is Mozart's Requiem. We're also performing Palestrina's Stabat Mater, which is a fabulous piece of music, and that's unaccompanied. And with the Melbourne Baroque Orchestra playing on classical instruments, the Mozart Requiem, and that's at 3 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd of April at the Scots Church.
And how do you get tickets?
You book online. If you just Google the Australian Chamber Choir, you'll find us very easily, and it's pretty easy to book online.
Yep. All right. Sure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And thank you for giving us this incredible music. You're on Joy 94.9.